Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, wherever you are. This is Gonzalo from Microsoft. We are still waiting for some folks to join. Please stay with us for 1 minute and we'll soon start. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today during this session in which we will talk about how to manage your microservices-based environments with CoScale. My name is Gonzalo Ruiz. I am the CTO of the London Microsoft Accelerator, where we work with top-class startups like CoScale. I've had the pleasure to work with many startups and large enterprises who really wanted to adopt containers and microservices. And all of them are seeing great value from that, but they've also bumped into some other challenges around how to manage those environments or how to manage security. And today we have the pleasure of being with CoScale, a great platform that manages large scale environments. So with that, I will hand over to Stan, who will talk about how they do it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Gonzalo, for the introduction. So today, I am very proud that we are here together with Microsoft and Red Hat. So I am Stan. I am the founder and CEO of CoScale. We also have Chris Milstead here today, who is a senior solutions architect at Red Hat and who will tell us a bit more about Red Hat OpenShift. So before we move forward, I'm assuming that every one of us is thinking about using containers, and we're all doing this. We're all deploying containers with our microservices because we believe in the benefits it brings us. It gives us greater agility, flexibility. It takes rid of some of the complexities around deploying and delivering applications. For example, it gets rid of these annoying dependencies. So there are a lot of opportunities for using container infrastructures. However, there are also a lot of challenges around managing a microservice environment and bringing it to a production environment. So you can be sure of one thing. This will happen. Your ship will sink. And this is because you're still working with people. They will still keep writing bugs. Your web servers will respond slowly to some of your API requests. But you will also have hardware failing. You will still have memory leaks in the software you're using. So this is going to happen. Your systems will crash, but this doesn't have to be a problem. Don't worry, you just need to be prepared. You need to think about what is important from a performance management perspective and how you could tackle the future. So obviously, performance management is one of the key concerns when bringing a container platform or a microservice architecture to a production environment. But there are other challenges, and some of these challenges, for example, are related to user management, to security, and this is really what the Red Hat OpenShift platform is all about. So with this, I would like to give the word to Chris, who is going to talk to us about the Red Hat OpenShift platform.
Thanks, everyone. Good afternoon, good morning. Let me just introduce kind of container platforms. So a lot of us have got challenges and, you know, why are we looking at containers? We're seeing that people are starting, I guess in the mid-90s, early 2000s, business and IT, they saw IT as cost centers. They saw IT as something that was, you know, to be spent on and to spend as little on. What we've now seen is kind of a complete reversal. We're now seeing that, you know, IT is a business differentiator, and we've kind of followed this pattern here where we see, you know, businesses try to accelerate their delivery, these DevOps and this new term emerging, DevSecOps? How do we actually make sure that we can develop stuff and we can deliver stuff and we're confident that the continuous integration, continuous testing, continuous delivery and continuous security is actually in place to actually deliver that code at scale? You've seen these patterns such as microservices, so, you know, to be able to do DevOps, we need to break these massive monolithic applications down into smaller parts that can be knitted together and could be changed independently and on the fly. And we've seen the move to public cloud and private cloud and hybrid cloud and all of these models where we're trying to take advantage and scale up and scale down infrastructure. And it's very easy, therefore, to do, you know, quick throwaway proof of concepts and then recover those resources. There's an enabling technology behind all of these, and this is containers. And what containers allow us to do, if you think in kind of the 1990s, we had, like, servers were expensive. Everyone installed all of their applications onto a single server, and then someone installed a new version of Java and broke everyone else's application. So we tried to break these dependencies out, and we moved into the virtual machines. And arguably, you know, we've got this virtual machine sprawl nowadays, and we haven't actually gone back and fixed any of those fundamental issues that we had with deploying code. We've just kind of separated it and given us more operating systems to manage. What containers allow us to do is kind of have the best of both worlds. They allow us to compartmentalize our applications and package them up with their dependent libraries. Notice that some of those dependent libraries actually come from the host operating system. And this is one of our key focuses that we've been looking at within Red Hat. How do we make sure that, you know, we have end-to-end security in this DevSecOps, and how do we make sure that everything is safe and secure? And we can package up these containers and we can run them independently of each other. But there's a number of challenges around there. You know, everyone's heard of projects such as Docker. You've heard of running containers. You've played around with them on your individual laptop. When you start running them at something the scale of a data center, something, you know, leveraging the power of things like public cloud and actually running on, you know, what is in effect, you know, an infinitely sized mainframe in the sky in effect. How are we going to orchestrate these things at scale? How are we going to make sure they're safe and secure? How are we going to do all these things that, when we move from playing around in a sandbox to actually delivering an enterprise service, and how we move from kind of longer term from startup into how do we make this service, you know, internet facing, production ready, safe and secure and manageable? We've got to think about all of these sort of non-functionals. What about role-based access control, security, signing, monitoring metrics, all of these components? And this is where OpenShift comes in. So this is a packaged kind of container platform that Red Hat have built. And we've got a number of different components in here, and you can see kind of building out from the bottom, looking at, you know, things like optimized atomic host. This is a container optimized version of the Enterprise Linux product that kind of has read-only file systems and all these other components. We can make sure that everything's safe and secure and people can't hack into it or change anything. We've then got all these mid-level components, networking, software-defined networking. We have to be able to change all the underlying infrastructure within the 3 seconds that it typically takes to start and stop containers. All of these other components have to be software-defined. And then at the top, you've got all of these, you know, services around build automation, software-defined lifecycle. There are some logs and metrics that we collect as part of the platform. We collect all of, for example, the logs that come out of the containers. We collect metrics about how much CPU and memory they're using. But there comes a point where, you know, Red Hat, we've built this container platform. We're not application specialists from all the applications. And this is where we have partners like CoScale. And what I'd like to do is hand back and we'll actually dive into how CoScale can actually augment and actually give you better insight into the application layer and can show you what these applications are doing. So,
okay. I'll hand back. Thanks a lot, Chris. This is really great stuff. Red Hat has really done an amazing job at building this very reliable container platform. So let's dive a bit more into performance management and what the value is that CoScale brings. So first of all, let's start by looking at some of the challenges around monitoring microservices. And if we think about monitoring microservices, then there are a few important layers. And Chris already mentioned some of these layers during his presentation. At the lowest level, you still have your operating system. It could be your host operating system or your virtualized operating system. So you still want to understand what's going on at this level. And you're mainly interested here to understand how much resources you're consuming. So this means that you want to understand how much CPU load you're using, how much memory, how you're consuming your storage and your network infrastructure. So this is the basic level, the first starting point for performance management. If we go up one layer in the stack, we now have this new layer called the orchestration layer. So basically this layer is responsible for starting, stopping, managing the containers, making sure that they are running, making sure that enough of the containers are running for each of your services. So obviously you want to keep track of the performance here. You want to keep track of the status of each of your services. You know, are there enough containers running at this point? Can I guarantee my SLAs, or do I need to scale up? Other things at the orchestration level are more related to the volumes you're using. For example, you want to understand how much disk volumes you're using, how much free space you've left on, you have left on them, etc. So this is the orchestration layer. One layer up, we are at the container level, where we now have these multiple containers running on our operating system being managed by our orchestrator. So obviously these containers are consuming our resources. So we need to understand how much of these resources each individual container is consuming. And again, this is more related to the typical system or infrastructure usage, so related to CPU loads, memory usage, storage, and network again. But obviously, very important is what's going on inside your container. So more at the application level, you want to understand how your containers are behaving. For example, you could have a web service running, so you need to understand how quickly are my HTTP calls being handled by my web service layer. Or if you have a database or a caching system, you want to understand how well is this performing. Is my caching system working well, or do we have too many cache misses. And what about my database layer? Which database queries do we see most often? Are there any bottlenecks in our database system? So it's also important to understand what's going on inside the container. Last but not least, we have the perspective for the end user. So we also want to keep track from a performance perspective how the end user is perceiving performance. And for an end user, it's important that your web pages or your mobile apps are loading quickly. So this is often called real user monitoring, where real user monitoring keeps track of how fast is a website loading, are there any errors on the web page, and what are the individual resources that are being fetched from our backend microservice infrastructure. So as you can see here, we have all these different layers with each very different but important performance metrics to keep an eye on. Okay, so if we look at some of the additional challenges around monitoring a microservice environment, then we have two important issues here. We have scale and diversity. So the first one, scale, is because we're building these lightweight microservice architectures, so we're building smaller components that solve a specific task. This means that we are running a lot more containers in our production environment than we were running traditional servers in our traditional monolithic environment. On top of that, these containers, they come and they go at a much faster pace than before. So because we would start containers to solve a specific task, and we will shut it down again when the task is solved. Or these microservice environments allow us to scale up easily and scale down again when, for example, there is less traffic coming through our website. So this is an important challenge because you have to take this into account when thinking about performance management. Another important aspect we see today is technology diversity. Because we're building these smaller components to solve specific tasks, we see a lot more different application technologies being used. And each of these application technologies has its own important performance metrics to keep track of. So this means that we're looking at more and more performance metrics than ever before. So let's have a quick look at a simple calculation on how this amount of metrics and the amount of data that we're keeping track of is exploding. So in a traditional environment, a traditional monolithic application, we, for example, are monitoring at our operating system level, and typically we're monitoring about 100 metrics, so coming from CPU load, storage network, like we discussed before. And then at the application level, for example, we have our database system running, or we have our giant web application running on our server, we would typically be monitoring about 50 metrics on this host. So this means in a traditional environment, we're monitoring about 150 metrics per host. Now, if we look at the microservice environments, this is a complete different order of magnitude. So we still have our operating system where we're monitoring the same metrics, but now we have the orchestration layer where we're monitoring about 50 metrics. But the complexity grows now because all our applications are running inside our containers, and for each of the containers we want to keep track of more resource metrics, so let's say about 50 metrics per container. But also for our applications, we want to monitor about 50 metrics per container. Now, notice that this 50 is still a quite conservative number, but it should give you an idea about the complexity we've introduced by moving towards microservice architectures. So if we look at these numbers, then this means that we are easily monitoring more than 1,000 metrics per host, assuming that we have, on average, about 10 containers running per host. So one of the points I want to make here is that the traditional way of monitoring and the traditional way of alerting is not feasible anymore. You need automated techniques that help you understand what is going on with your data from a performance perspective. So the traditional way of handling performance issues was to use static alerts. And static alerts have good use cases. I mean, for example, if you have a clear spike in your page load time, or if the number of requests per second being handled by your API servers suddenly drops to zero, then it's very easy to set a static threshold and generate an alert when this happens. However, there are a lot of limitations to these static alerts. For example, static alerts don't take into account seasonality in the data. So you might be having less customers in the morning, maybe some more during the afternoon, and even more in the evening. So this is a pattern that is in your data, and it is not feasible using a traditional static alerting technique to pick the right threshold for setting these alerts. So that's one issue, seasonality. A second observation is that there are a lot of correlations in the data, and this is something that we need to exploit. To give you an example, a request rate, so the amount of HTTP requests, for example, being handled by your backend infrastructure, is obviously correlated by the load on your system. If you have more users coming to your web application, you will have more requests being handled by your backend system, and you will have a higher load on the system. So these are the kind of correlations that you need to take into account when talking about alerting, when talking about finding bottlenecks at the performance management level. Another issue, and this is a clear issue because we have been talking about these changing and dynamic environments all this session, is that we cannot be sure that a threshold today is a good threshold next week. So because we are experiencing these highly changing and highly dynamic and scalable environments, we need to take this into account and make sure that we understand that the environments are changing. Good. So as I've shown on the two slides ago, obviously there is the problem of data explosion. So we're keeping track of a lot more metrics than we were keeping track of before. So you need automated techniques that help you do something useful with the data. And this is actually one of the key advantages of the CoScale platform. So we use a technique called anomaly detection. And this is an analytics technique that allows us to understand the behavior in your data, the behavior of your infrastructure, your application, and the dynamics of your microservice environment. So the CoScale platform automatically analyzes your metrics. It learns the patterns in the data. It understands the correlations in the data. And it also understands that you're using a very dynamic and scalable system. So it takes this into account when automatically generating alerts and proactively warning you when something is going wrong. So a bit later during this session, we will jump into a live demo where I will give a few examples on how this anomaly detection can help you act quickly before things go bad. Okay, so some other aspects to the CoScale platform. So we are a full-stack performance monitoring platform. So this means that we monitor all the different layers in our infrastructure and applications stack, as I discussed before. So this means including real user monitoring and even including some business and custom metrics. Next to that, the CoScale platform has been built for production use. We use a lightweight agent that mainly does two things. It analyzes log files and it connects to APIs to get useful performance information. So the point I want to make here is that a lot of the traditional performance management tools were not built for these lightweight microservice large-scale production environments. And this has really been the focus for CoScale from the beginning. An additional aspect of the CoScale platform is that we provide additional context to the data. To give you an example, for when you do a new software deployment, you need to keep track of what's going on because a software deployment potentially has a big impact on performance. So we keep track of these important events, but also other events, for example, related to your marketing campaigns. If you do a new email campaign, hopefully you're attracting much more visitors to your web application. So this potentially has a big impact on the performance. Next to that, our platform is also priced for a larger production environment, and we offer our software in our own SaaS platform, but also on-premise. And on-premise, this means that we can offer this at your premises, but we also offer the CoScale software as a private instance, for example, on Microsoft Azure. And this is something that we will be showing in a minute. Okay, so to summarize what CoScale is doing, we have our agent that is collecting a lot of information from today's modern technologies. So this goes from the web application technologies, web server technologies like Nginx, Apache, but also application servers like Tomcat, JBoss, towards more database-oriented technologies or NoSQL database technologies like MongoDB or Redis, Memcached. So this is what the agent is collecting. Obviously, the agent is also hooking into the Docker APIs and the OpenShift APIs to understand what's going on at the orchestration level and at the container level. At the right, you can see our integrations, and these integrations are crucial for understanding what's going on to add more context to the performance data. And here we integrate with other tools like, for example, Puppet, Salt, Ansible, and to understand, you know, how your software deployments are impacting your performance. You see some other more advanced technologies we support. So, for example, we have support for GMX, StatsD, CollectD, basically to capture more custom-related application metrics and bring it into the CoScale platform. So based on all of these metrics and events, we offer an intuitive-to-use click-through dashboarding interface, which I will show in a minute. We show the impact on your custom and business metrics and how this is affecting your end user and your business. We have very nice visualizations that are built for highly scalable and large production environments. And as I mentioned before, we do anomaly detection to proactively help you detect problems when something is about or is going wrong. Okay. The final point I want to make here before we jump into the demo is to show you our architecture has been built for high scalability. We target larger enterprises, large environments that are building serious microservice environments and running them in production. I don't want to get into the details about our architecture itself, but what I want to stress is that our own scalable architecture is completely built on top of container technology. So CoScale understands what container technology and microservices is all about. We actually ship our on-premise software or our private instance CoScale software on Azure completely as Docker containers. And obviously, we are monitoring our own cloud platform with our own CoScale tool. Eating your own dog food, that's the best thing you can do. Okay. Good. So let's have a look now at what we've prepared for this session today. So we will be looking at a Red Hat OpenShift cluster that is running on Microsoft Azure. And we will be showing you how you can easily deploy Red Hat OpenShift on Azure, and also how you can use CoScale to do performance management for this OpenShift cluster running on Azure. So first, a few slides to talk a bit about the setup and how we've used it, and then I will jump into a live demo showing you some of our dashboards. So first of all, it's important to understand how you can deploy large-scale resources on Azure. And the main driver, or the most important thing to mention here, is the Azure Resource Manager. So the Azure Resource Manager is a way to deploy and manage resources as a group. And the Azure Resource Manager has the concept of Azure templates. They are also called ARM templates. And they're basically a declarative JSON format where you can describe how your resource group will look like. And using this JSON format, you can then easily deploy a large infrastructure on Azure. Now, there are a lot of these JSON templates available on the GitHub link you can find here. And CoScale is also on this GitHub link. You can also find Red Hat OpenShift there. So there are a lot of platforms that are already available as Azure templates, which makes it very easy for you to start deploying large-scale infrastructures on Azure. So using this Azure Resource Manager, we're effectively able to give you a five-click experience to deploy, test, run, and use CoScale on Azure. So the first step, so for those of you who have not used OpenShift before or who plan to use OpenShift in the near future, here is a link to the GitHub of the OpenShift template. So basically, if you open this template, you will get some information on what will be deployed on Azure. There is then a button there, as you can see here. This button is called Deploy to Azure. So if you click on this button, then an OpenShift cluster will be deployed on Azure. And we have a similar template available for CoScale. So the CoScale template that you can use will automatically provision the CoScale platform, so based on the complete architecture I mentioned a few slides ago. And this will allow you to play around with CoScale very easily. So you click on the Deploy to Azure button. You're then asked to fill in a few parameters. So you need to obtain a CoScale key. So this key can be obtained through our website, but I will share some more details about that later. Basically, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to generate the CoScale deployment on Azure, and you then have an up and running CoScale instance that you can use to start monitoring your Red Hat OpenShift environment. Good. So we prepared this already, obviously, because we don't want to wait 10 to 15 minutes during this session. So let's have a look at some of the results right now. So I will start by looking at this home dashboard. And this is a typical starting point for CoScale. So in CoScale, the philosophy is that you start from these home dashboards that summarize the high-level KPIs of your application and your infrastructure. So this means that we are focusing on the most important KPIs for your environment. And this is a starting point, and you can further drill down on each of these KPIs to understand what's going on or to get more details. So for example, as I can see at the left top here, my total server CPU load is around 12%. So okay, I might be interested to know a bit more about this load on my servers. So what I can do is I can click on this widget, and then I'm taken to a dashboard that shows me more details about what's going on at the server level. So in this case, the different colors represent the different nodes in our system. So you can easily identify which nodes are consuming more CPU load or more memory than the others. Let's go back to our home dashboard. Another example is we have a widget here that is showing us the maximum CPU load consumed by our containers running in our system. So we can also, again, drill down on this. And then we're looking at a dashboard that shows me more specific details about my container resource usage, right? So what we can do is we can actually get some more details here by clicking on any of these lines and showing more details. And this will pop up a legend that you can use to understand some more of the data values in detail. Okay, let's go back to our home dashboard because we see some interesting icons at the bottom here. So these icons represent the technologies that we're monitoring. So we're monitoring an OpenShift cluster, obviously. We're monitoring the resources consumed by this OpenShift cluster and by the containers running on our cluster. We are using Elasticsearch containers, and we're using MongoDB containers. So if we want to understand more at the cluster level, what we can do is we can drill down on this OpenShift icon. So let's do that. So we're now taken to a dashboard that gives me an overview of this OpenShift cluster. And what we see here is that we have 5 services running within our OpenShift cluster. There are actually 3 services that are part of the default services within OpenShift, so I will not really focus on this one. But you can also see that we have our MongoDB service and our Elasticsearch service. Now, the top overview gives you an idea about the status of the replication controllers. So if you see a red color here, then this means that one of your services is under provisioned. So and in this case, if I hover over it, I can actually see that there weren't enough containers running for my MongoDB service at this point in time. So what we can do here again is drill down. So for example, if I drill down on this MongoDB service, and what I will do is I will zoom out a little bit. If I zoom out, I can see that yes, there was this little drop during the past day. And this is showing me that there was actually a container that crashed. It was detected by the replication controller. It was indicated on the previous dashboard. And this overview now shows me the dynamics of the system. What we also show you at the bottom here is for each of the individual containers, the lifecycle of the containers. So the green area is indicating when the container is up and running. Now, as you notice here, the number of containers has dropped to 0. And we did not see an alert here, so we did not see a red flag here. And this is because this is this was a setting by our users. So we decided to scale down the number of MongoDB containers to 0. So this is why we don't see an alert right here. Okay, let's have a look at the other visualizations on this dashboard. And the top visualization here gives you a representation of your cluster from a service point of view. So each of these green circles, they represent one of your services. So we have 5, like I mentioned before. And the last one is an interesting one, because this is actually one of our MongoDB service. And we can see that we have 3 containers running for this MongoDB service. And we can also see that there is 1 container marked as red. And actually, this container is consuming more CPU than expected. So as you can see, if I hover over it, I can see that this container is consuming almost 100% of CPU load. So by using these visualizations, you can easily identify which containers are consuming more resources than expected. The view below is actually a similar view, but from the server point of view. So each green inner circle right now represents one of the machines where all the containers are running on, and the containers are can be from different services running on this host. Okay, let's have a look at some more anomaly detection examples. So I've opened already some dashboards to showcase our anomaly detection. And the first example I want to show is how we do anomaly detection at different important levels. So the first important level to do anomaly detection is at the service level, because you want to understand when your entire service, for example, is suddenly handling a lot more requests than before. Or, for example, when your entire service is suddenly having a much higher latency than before. So what we've detected here, what the anomaly detection has automatically learned here, is that there was a much higher request rate than before. So if I click here, I actually get some more details about what is going on and how our anomaly detection has identified this. And what we show you here is the red area is marking the anomaly. So the anomaly detection models automatically understands that this was not expected behavior and that this is important to take a look at. So this was a first example. Another example is how anomaly detection works at the container level, where in this case, one of our containers is suddenly using a lot more CPU load than it was using before and compared to the other containers. So this was actually the container as we saw on the previous dashboard, right? Good. Let's take a look at a few other dashboards, but first let's have a look at how configuration and installation works at CoScale. So configuration of the technologies you want to monitor is very easy. So we have this installation setup, and what we can see here is that we're monitoring OpenShift, we're monitoring our Docker containers, and we're monitoring our resources at the operating system level, right? So to monitor OpenShift, there is a little bit of configuration, which is explained right here. So you have to provide host name and port, a certificate and a key. So this is very easy to set up. To monitor the Docker containers, there are a few things here. You can enable a monitoring for the different technologies you want to keep track of. So in this case, we're looking at Elasticsearch and MongoDB. And as you can see here, we've enabled the CoScale plugins for monitoring these services. There is very easy configuration associated with these services. So to give you an example, if I want to monitor my MongoDB technology, I just have to provide a host name, a port, and optionally a username and a password. So this clearly shows how easy it is to set up monitoring within CoScale. And what I want to mention here is that the CoScale agent will automatically pick up if a container is started, what technology it belongs to, and how it should be monitored. Right? Okay, let's have a look at a few more real user examples. So this is an example dashboard of one of our customers, and they have four important backend services. They are Star Wars fans, so they've given them Star Wars names. And in this case, we can see that they're looking at what is the average backend latency for each of these services. Now, this is a starting point, like I mentioned before, so you can drill down to get more details. But below these high-level KPIs, you can also see what we call a performance heat map. And a performance heat map drills down the performance of each of these services and splits it over the different containers responsible for this service. So this immediately gives you an idea about how the containers are performing and where the colors are indicating the, in this case, latency performance. Let's have a look at another dashboard of another customer that has a more typical e-commerce application. So in this case, the customer is also keeping track of some more business-related KPIs. So by using CoScale, it's very easy to integrate your custom business-related metrics or custom application metrics. And this allows you to understand at a more business level what is going on with your application and your infrastructure. Now, these dashboards are automatically generated, but it's very easy to adjust them. So let me quickly show you what you can do. So you can drag and drop. You can easily add new widgets to the dashboard. So we have an extensive library of widgets containing gauges, tables, pie charts, all kind of widgets that allow you to visualize the data and customize it to your needs. What I want to show here is how our drill down functionality works. So for example, let's say I'm interested to know more about my page load times, so about my end user experience. So what I can do here is I can drill down. Yeah, so it's asking me to save the dashboard. So I can drill down on my page load time, and then I'm taken to a dashboard that shows me more historical information about my end user experience. So it is showing me how many page views per second our users are generating. The different colors represent different web pages. Below that we see how page load time is changing over time. So notice that we have two lines here. One is the average, the other one is the 90 percentile. And at the bottom of this dashboard, we show you a table, a top 10 of slowest web pages in your environment. So this allows you to focus on what's important. You see some performance numbers here, but again, you can drill down to get more details. So for example, if I click on this web page, I'm taken to a dashboard that shows me specific performance numbers for the web page I clicked on. So I can see how many page views we're getting, how page load time is changing over time, and what the individual resources are that are being fetched by our front-end application to our microservice back-end application. Again, I can drill down on any of these API calls, and then I'm taken to a dashboard that shows me the performance as measured by our agent, and so we can understand how our containers are serving these API requests in this case. Okay, so let me quickly go back to our homepage here, because I also want to mention these nice little icons you see. And these are the events that give additional context to the data, which I talked about earlier. So you might recognize in this case the Puppet icon. So we have support for Puppet and other configuration management tools, allowing you to see when you did a new deployment and what was the impact on performance. Another interesting example you see here is this MailChimp icon. So this customer had an email campaign, and after the email campaign, we can actually see that there is an increase in page load time. So there was a performance penalty. Now, let's take a look at our anomaly detection, because this was also automatically detected by our anomaly detection. So as you can see here, we've detected anomalies at different levels in our application. So we've detected a problem at the business level, at our user experience level, and at the backend level. So what we saw is that there is a problem at our backend level, and there are actually two nodes that are having a problem. They are consuming 27% more CPU load than before. So I can actually click here and then again see what our anomaly detection has detected. So it understands that during this time of the day, the CPU load was not expected and was much higher than before. This actually had an impact on our performance. So this has led to an increase in our page load time of more than, on average, of more than 5 seconds. And if I click on this widget right here, I get some more performance details. And we show a latency distribution, which gives you more information about how your users are experiencing your page load times. So in this case, we can see a clear shift towards higher page load times. So this means that more users are experiencing a higher page load, and thus an impact. Now, the interesting thing here is that we also see a drop in conversion rates. So the anomaly detection automatically detected that there was also a drop in conversion because of this decreased performance. Good. Let's have a look at a few other dashboards, because in CoSkill we automatically generate a lot of dashboards for the technologies we're monitoring. This is a typical example of a memcached dashboard. So for example, if you're using memcached, you want to understand how your hit rate is doing, so how many misses you have and how many hits you have. So this is a typical dashboard that can be used to evaluate memcached performance. We will also show how many items you have in the cache, how many memory is being consumed. So that's a typical example for memcached. Another example is a typical database example. In this case, we're looking at a MySQL database where we are showing at the top here a top 10 of slowest database queries that are being consumed by your system. Now, note that you can visualize all the database queries. This is just a specific visualization focusing on the top 10 slowest database queries. But you can also sort on the amount of queries run per second or the amounts of bytes received. One other thing that I mentioned during my presentation is that we also have support for more advanced techniques, for example, also like forecasting. So this is an example of how CoSkill also allows you to predict performance towards the future. So this is an example how our forecasting is used to predict memory usage towards the future. Now, the interesting thing here is that you can also put alerts on this. So we have an alerting mechanism that allows you to say, okay, warn me if I will run out of memory, if I will run out of disk space, for example, within a certain period of time. Obviously, the CoSkill platform also supports the more traditional way of alerting. So we also have the traditional static alerting, but we like to emphasize the power of our anomaly detection and how this is able to automatically understand the behavior of your applications and your infrastructure. Okay, good. With that, I would like to switch back to my presentation. Oh, sorry, that was the wrong button. So this ends the demo for now. CoSkill offers a lot more dashboards, a lot more advanced integrations. So I'm sure a lot of you are interested to know more about CoSkill. So feel free to reach out to us later. Let's have a look if there are some questions on our Twitter stream right now. Gonzalo, do you have?
Thanks, Tom. So far, we don't have any questions, but let's give the folks some time. And before we do that, let me ask you a couple of questions, because I've seen that during your demo, when you were showing CoSkill environment, I saw on the URL that that environment was running on Azure, right? So can you tell me a little bit about how long do you think that it could take to anyone who wants to try OpenShift and CoSkill on Azure, how long would it take to create those environments?
Yeah, so because of these ARM templates, so these easy-to-use JSON templates, it is really a few clicks away. So it's just a matter of using the right template. The links are in the presentation. Something important I have to mention is that we have put online a blog post describing what we've done, the steps we've taken to get OpenShift running, to get CoSkill running on Azure. I will share the link later in the presentation. But basically, within a few clicks, potential candidates are able to try out Red Hat OpenShift and CoSkill on Azure.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And you've been also talking a lot about large-scale environment, right? So can you also give us a little bit of insights on what's the average environment size that your customers are managing with CoSkill?
Yeah, so we typically, like I mentioned before, we target large enterprise environments because, we've noticed a clear need in the market for good performance management tools that understand this type of environment. So we have large customers. One of our biggest customers is actually a very large German-based Fortune 500 company. I don't have permission to mention the name today, but we are soon publishing a customer case study on our website. And to give you an idea about the size of these environments, we're talking about hundreds of physical, or in their case, virtual machines, with each of these virtual machines running tens to even more than hundreds of containers.
Okay, that's fantastic. And last but not least, I've also seen the list of applications that you support out of the box, right? Let's say that for argument's sake, a customer might be interested in adding one more application. How could they raise that feedback to you guys? And do you think that it will be kind of reasonable to think that you can guys quickly add new applications if they are not natively supported?
Yes, there are a few ways here. So we already support a lot of technologies that are used today. If there is some kind of more exotic application technology or database technology that we don't support today, CoSkill offers a REST API. So our customers are able to push metrics and events to the REST API. We also have a lot of mechanisms to help there. So we also offer an SDK in Java, in Python, which allows you to easily communicate with the REST API. We also support, like I mentioned, JMX, StatsD. We have general plugins that allow you to parse and analyze any kind of log file. So basically, there are a lot of mechanisms to already monitor or integrate with these more exotic application technologies. Now, if it is a technology that we think is important for our customer base, then we are very much open to this feedback. We have a very dedicated and helpful support team that is looking for feedback like this. Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic. Chris, any question for Stan or for myself?
No questions. I think I just echo the comments that we've seen a couple of observations. You know, our latest scale testing of OpenShift, we've been scaling up to 110 pods per node. The next version, we're scaling up to 250 pods per node. So we have scale testing where we've got clusters with 59,000 containers running on, and we published some blogs about those. So just think, one, you know, the scale, we're breaking these big monolithic applications into microservices. So your monitoring is going to get harder, and you need to think about the automation. The other thing as well, just to comment on, is in historically where you had, you know, AVM with an application running on it, it was very easy to tell whether your service was alive or whether your service was dead.
Yeah.
You've also got to start thinking when your applications are being refactored and you're seeing this breakout, you're going to get a composite health problem. So if your application health, if your, you know, website, if you're trying to do a shopping and there's a microservice doing the cart, there's a microservice doing, you know, price matching, all these other services, some of them might be dead, but they might not actually be necessary to actually return a web page to your user, or you might have different, you know, priorities within your applications. So you need to start thinking about, you know, more advanced tooling and automated kind of correlation as you see with the CoScale product here, because you need to have that insight into what your application health is. It's going to be a composite problem. It's not just up or down anymore.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good point. So we still don't have any questions on the Twitter feed. If anyone wants to ping Stan or myself to drill down into what you do, feel free to do it anyhow.
Yeah. So to end our session here, I encourage you all to try it out. Try running OpenShift. Try running CoSkill on Azure. There is a blog post, like I mentioned, available on the CoSkill website. So coskill.com/blog/monitoring OpenShift on Azure. Feel free to reach out to CoSkill, to Gonzalo from Microsoft, or to Chris from Red Hat. Here are my here's my contact information. But you can also take a look at our website, register for a free trial, and I hope to welcome you all soon on the CoSkill platform.
Yep. Thank you very much, Stan. Thank you very much, Chris and Red Hat, for hosting us today. We are actually broadcasting from the Red Hat office in London, so thanks a lot for your support. And also, thanks everyone for watching and listening to us. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you think about OpenShift, what you think about Azure and CoScale, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, all.